There's nothing more to talk over. There's nothing more to say. I hate him, and that's all that matters.
And that, said Peg, was her final word regarding her husband, Bert Weston. Today, Kay attempts to change her stepdaughter's mind. So listen now to Kay Fairchild's Stepmother, brought to you by the makers of Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder. You know how bright and sparkling the world looks on a spring morning, when it's rained during the night and crystal drops are still dripping from the trees, and the sky and the air and everything seems spick and span and new? Well, no kidding, that's the way your mouth feels after you've brushed your teeth with Colgate tooth powder. You see, this swell-tasting powder bubbles up into a double-rich foam that fairly dances through your mouth. Your teeth feel satin smooth, your breath is sweet, and when you sit down to breakfast, everything tastes wonderful. For 100 years, the Colgate people have had an enviable reputation for making fine products. And when they decided to give you a tooth powder, well, tops is the only word for the result. Colgate tooth powder is made to give you not just one, but 3 radiant results. Brush your teeth with Colgate tooth powder, and they gleam with natural sparkle and luster. Swish Colgate's rich, bubbling foam through your mouth, and it sweetens your breath. And Colgate tooth powder is safe for gum massage. So get some Colgate tooth powder today, and have it on hand for brushing your teeth tonight and the first thing tomorrow morning. And now, Colgate Tooth Powder presents Kay Fairchild, Stepmother. Bud is not the kind of boy who keeps a secret very easily. It was he who first saw Bert Weston on the streets of Walnut Grove. When he came rushing home to Kay with the news, it was agreed that Peg, for the time being, was not to hear about it. But a boy likes to repeat the information he has in quarters where it will create the most profound effect. And Bud knew that he could get the most dramatic results by passing along his news to Peg. So, casually, he worked around to the subject, and after a little urging on her part, he told her. About that time, Kay and John came home. And Peg forthwith went into a tantrum. She accused her father and their stepmother of sending for Bert, in direct contradiction of her wish never to see him again. Kay and John tried to make her realize that she ought to see him, ought to forgive him for staying away so long, and let him take his rightful place as her husband. She wouldn't hear of it, but Kay was not discouraged. "I have a plan for getting them together," said Kay, "a plan that I think may work." Well, it's late afternoon of the same day. Kay is in the kitchen with Maddie. Listen.
Now, I'm relying on you to help me, Maddie. We mustn't fail in this.
No, ma'am, indeed we mustn't. I understand how important it is.
You see, what we're doing actually is performing a little experiment in psychology.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's what we're doing, all right.
Only in this case, the result is much more important than the result of an experiment in the laboratory. On the outcome of this depends the happiness of a lot of people.
I understand you perfect, Miss Fisher.
Now, if her reaction is right when we reach the critical moment, then everything will be fine. But if we make a mistake and she doesn't react the way I hope she will...
Then we're all in the soup and no way to climb out.
Exactly.
Now, what's that again you want her to do at the critical minute?
React properly.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
But you see, Maddie, it all depends on how we build up to it.
On how we build up to it, yes, sir.
If we ever build up to the proper frame of mind, I'm sure she'll do just what we want her to do.
Oh, there just ain't no doubt about it.
Well, now I'll go in there and talk to her. You listen carefully, and if you hear her getting angry, well, you come in and change the subject.
Yes.
That way we can prevent her from getting too worked up.
And even if I don't hear no loud talk, I'm to drop in once or twice anyhow, just to make everything seem kind of natural-like.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, cross your fingers, Maddie.
That ain't no good. I got a rabbit's foot in my aching pocket.
Fix whatever kind of vegetables you think we ought to have, Maddie.
Yes, Miss Baker.
Call the grocer for whatever you want. He'll have the boy bring it over for you. Oh, hello, Peggy. That scallywag brother of yours hasn't come home yet, has he?
Not as far as I know.
Well, you'd better hurry. That lovely south wind we were getting has shifted to the east, and it's going to rain. Oh, but we couldn't ask for better weather in the spring. Sunshine in the morning, rain in the afternoon. You can almost stand and watch the flowers and the grass growing.
If you have nothing better to do.
Name me something better to do than that. Or watching the world change over from winter to summer, sort of like watching a shabby old house torn down and a new one being put up in its place. I sometimes think that a town like this should have two names, one for the winter and another for spring and summer. It really becomes a different town, doesn't it?
You're leading up to something. Why don't you come right to the point instead of going all around Robin Hood's barn?
Oh, I don't know. It never pays to be too abrupt. We sort of proved that this afternoon, didn't we?
Did we?
Why, sure. Everybody's in a good humor, but all of a sudden, before we quite realize it, we're quarreling like a sack full of cats. That's bad.
I wasn't conscious of quarreling. All I did was state a few simple truths about what I want and what I don't want. And what I will do and what I won't do.
Well, maybe you weren't quarreling. But I'm afraid your father and I were pretty hasty in some of the things we said. But I think you and I are in a much better humor now, and if you haven't any objections, Peg, I'd like to say a few things that I didn't get a chance to say this noon.
I don't want to talk any more about it, Kay.
Oh, now look. That's not quite fair. You know the way I am. I never like to leave an issue hanging in the air. I have a terribly uncomfortable feeling inside of me until it's settled one way or the other.
The thing is settled to my satisfaction.
Have you been reading the papers lately, Peg? I mean the society column. Two or three of your friends are going to be married this spring. I bet if you talked to them, you'd find that all of them are as happy as skylarks about it.
Live and learn. They'll soon find out.
The chances are 9 out of 10 that all of them will be very happy.
Well, that's where they differ from me. I'm very unhappy, and I like it that way.
Oh,
I love
no.
to be unhappy.
Peggy.
Did I hear you asking something about that new magazine that just come this morning?
Why, yes, I was looking for it, Maddie.
I went upstairs and got it for you. It's here.
Oh, thank you, Maddie.
I was reading that story in the magazine about that tractor salesman. He suddenly did get himself into a mess of trouble doing it.
Well, I haven't looked at the magazine yet.
Now you just read that one about the tractor salesman. That is a wonderful story. Some places there I thought I would most die laughing. You read that, Miss Peg?
No, I'm sorry to say I haven't.
But I advise you both to go ahead and read it.
Well, thanks, Mary. Maddie's right. Those stories about the tractor salesman are very funny.
Well, to get back to what we were saying.
Oh. What were we saying, anyhow?
I was saying that I'm very unhappy and I like it that way.
Well, there's some finicky people who'd say that that statement doesn't make sense, but I understand what you mean. Maybe I understand you a little better now than I did around Christmas.
You think so?
I guess I made a pretty bad mistake, Peg. When you told me that you and Bert wanted to be married, I should have fixed it up so you could be married right away.
Oh, don't explain or apologize for things like that. Excuses never did anybody any good.
Well, anyhow, you did get married, you and Bert. Your father and I may have put up some objections beforehand, but now that it's done, we're not sorry. We think Bert is a fine fella.
Which is where you and I differ.
I don't think we differ so much on that point as you pretend. One thing I tried to tell you this noon, Peg, was that I think he's a much finer fellow right now than he was when you married him.
That's an absurd statement. Why do you say that?
Something new has come into Bert's personality during these last 4 months.
You must have had quite a long, cozy chat with him.
No, as a matter of fact, I talked to him only about 10 minutes. He didn't tell me very much beyond confirming the fact that you two were actually married. Aren't you even interested in knowing where it took place, Peggy?
Not much.
It was in a little town over in Indiana.
Indiana?
You see, you drove a lot further that night than you realized. Bert has the marriage certificate. He found it crumpled up in his coat pocket 2 or 3 weeks later.
Oh, don't tell me things like this. I don't want to talk any more about this.
Well, I just...
Don't talk to me any more about it, I say.
Excuse me, Miss Fairchild. You think maybe broccoli with cheese sauce would go good with the steak?
Why, yes, I think that'd be fine, Mary.
Yes, and of course, then I'm going to have some of them special fried potatoes. A slice thin, you know, and fried in deep fried.
Well, you know how much Mr. Fairchild likes them.
Yes, ma'am. I think Mr. Fairchild's going to like his dinner tonight. I think everybody's going to like it.
Peggy. Peggy, listen to me, please. Bert is absolutely broken up over the way he's treated you. And he's a different man, I swear to you he is. You know he was always kind of cold and offhand with you, but it took these 4 months of being away from you to make him realize that he does honestly and truly love you. Love you just as much as you love him.
I don't love him. I hate him.
You love him just as much as you ever did. Maybe more. If only you could... Look, Peg. Look who's coming up the front walk.
What are you talking about?
Bert's coming, Peg. He's coming here to see you. To talk to you. To tell you how sorry he is for what he did. I want you to answer the door when he rings.
Bert's coming. Oh, no, Katie. No, I can't answer the door.
Yes, you can. Now, you go to the door. I'm going out in the kitchen. Bert has a lot of things to say that he wants to say only to you. You answer the bell, Peg.
Katie.
Moment. Well, it looks as though Kay built up to it just right, as cleverly as an old stage manager. There can't be any doubt about it. When Bert rings the bell, Peg is going to answer. Well, yesterday was moving day for a lot of you folks. I suppose you'll be busy over the weekend getting settled. Has it occurred to you how many ways your neighborhood drugstore can help? You want to get lined up with your new store right away, you know. Find out where it is and what the phone number is in case of any emergency. So do that today. And right away you'll find your friendly druggist eager to help you get settled. For the hasty pickup meals you may be serving during the commotion, let the drugstore send over sandwiches and soft drinks and ice cream. It'll save you a lot of trouble. And here's another point. Don't fill up your nice new medicine cabinet with a lot of old junk. Toss out everything you don't really need and start fresh. While you're about it, how's about getting the family set with a nice, fresh can of Colgate tooth powder? Chances are you've been meaning to try this grand triple action powder, and right now is the ideal time to do it. So today, get acquainted with your new druggist and get off to a flying start by making your first purchase a can of Colgate tooth powder. Succeeded in bringing Peg and her husband together. Tune in Monday for their first meeting since that long ago weekend when these two young people were married. Kay Fairchild's stepmother is brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by the makers of Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder. This is Carlton Cadell speaking.
Have you ever said, what, me wash my face with soap? My skin is sensitive. And you look at a woman with a peaches and cream skin and think enviously, oh, she was born lucky. Yet I'll bet she has more good sense than good luck. Indeed, thousands of women have the good sense to use cashmere bouquet soap for their faces because they find it more mild and agreeable to a sensitive skin. So why not try cashmere bouquet soap for your complexion today? You know, there's nothing like a gentle washing with a mild, agreeable soap to give your face that glorious, refreshed feeling, that glowing, radiant look of cleanliness. Use Cashmere Bouquet Soap with the fragrance men love in your bathtub, too, so you'll feel like peaches and cream all over. Expensive? Gosh, no. 3 cakes for 25 cents wherever good soap is sold. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. The WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.